And that brings me to the last part, investigating social media. And just some reminders as to important elements if you want to investigate social media, whether as a prosecutor, but also if you are a lawyer and you want to investigate or to support a claim of a victim. Because many of the evidence that is to be found, you can also find just simply in a public sphere, on public forum and public social media. So also lawyers can already find some evidence that would support a claim of a victim. The first and the most important part of that investigation is cooperation with the internet service providers. Because these are the internet service providers, because of decentralization of social media, that will have most of the data that we use. And there we also make a distinction between passive and active platforms. Social media are active platforms, are passive platforms in the sense that they don't create their own content. An active platform, for example, a news outlet, will provide its own content and put that online. That's not the case with passive platforms. They will simply provide of a platform where information can be posted. And so they will not be liable for illegal content unless they are notified of that content and unless they don't remove that content once notified, the so-called notice and takedown obligation. But it is considered that this notice and takedown is not sufficient to tackle criminal content online, and that more should be done, and that every social media should be under an obligation of active moderation. However, several social media will not be doing that today because they are afraid that they then would become considered to be an active platform, and that they would become liable for content online. And that is what Europe is doing now with their Digital Services Act, which is also a proposal for a new regulation of the online markets. And that is really in its final stages. It just needs to go through the trilogues, and we all expect that this year we will definitely see that the Digital Services Act is finally agreed upon. And that will also make that these service providers will be questioned to more actively monitor their own content, and that they will also still be exempted from liability when they actively look for illegal content. And more, there will be an obligation to act on illegal content, and very important for law enforcement, there will be also be an obligation to provide information on this kind of illegal content. So the Digital Services Act will be important both for removal of content, but also to get more information on cooperation and to see that that content is blocked if that is requested by law enforcement and in a speedy manner. So not 6 months afterwards, but just after the request has been filed with the internet service providers. A second important element, and which has been debated extensively, is of course data retention, because the social media, they retain many of those data, personal data, as I said in the introduction of the accounts and of the subscribers. And that information, of course, that is very useful for investigations. However, the European Court of Justice increases limits not only data retention by ISPs, but also the access to this data by law enforcement for fighting crime. And so in recent judgments, the Court of Justice has decided that the indiscriminate retention of IP addresses and subscriber information for fighting crimes is compatible with EU law, but that data and location data, that traffic and location data can only be retained in a targeted manner, for example, on the basis of time zones, of geographical zones, and for a restricted time. And further, that access to this traffic and location data in crime investigation is only allowed for independent authorities and judicial authorities. And so that a public ministry in itself cannot access these data, but there will need to be a judge that decides on the proportionality of access to this traffic and location data. And because of that, there is currently no directive on data retention, because that was annulled by the European Court of Justice. And because of most national legislation also being annulled by their own constitutional courts, because it's not compatible with EU law, we see a lot of national divergence as to which data need to be retained and for what time. And so, of course, that makes it very difficult for the internet services providers to know which data are to be retained, but also for law enforcement and investigation to ensure that they have certain data when there are acts of cybercrime or cyber violence. And so the cooperation with the internet service providers has not become more easier because of the rules of data retention, but also because of the difficulty often to establish how to cooperate with internet service providers. We know that they will cooperate if they are within your own territory, they have an establishment within your own territory, but of course, because of course national legislation that applies to them, they will also directly cooperate often via a good liaison officer within your own country. And we see that they cooperate in particular when the quality of request is of a high level. So we see that certain that internet service providers will cooperate more with certain countries than other countries. And they cite the quality of a request as being concrete in which data you want, the legal basis, etc., as one of the reasons. Unfortunately, also the internal policy. Some internet service providers simply do not cooperate, such as Telegram. But also we see that internet service providers are much more willing to cooperate directly with law enforcement in emergency situations where there's a direct threat to life. And also that the cooperation depends on the kind of crime. Where we see a lot of cooperation on terrorism, we will see far less cooperation on crimes such as stalking or harassment. And in addition, also, it depends on the international tools provided. So the cooperation via the European Investigation Order for data or subscriber information, but also with third countries, whether there is a MLAT, a mutual assistance treaty. And while the MLATs are essential for cooperation, they are also very slow. And that is the reason, of course, why the European Union continues to work on the evidence proposal to have a direct, direct communication between law enforcement and ISPs that are present in the European Union. And that cooperation focuses not only to get data, to get information from criminal investigations, but also to get actual content removed. Because often the harm is the content being online. And there the Digital Services Act will be of much importance. And that is one reminder, of course, for all investigation that you should always make sure that you have print screens and that you have the data before the data are being removed. And so we do see where increased cooperation or removal of content and where the cooperation to get data for internet service providers is not an easy one. We do see increased cooperation on the removal of content, and at least that's a positive evolution. And then finally, I will conclude with probably one of the vital tools we all have for investigating social media, which is open source intelligence. And in our social media, that's called Social Media Intelligence, SOCMINT. If you would Google that, you will find so many tools you can use to actually investigate social media accounts. For example, to check whether they are fake accounts or not, to check if they are fake accounts, who might be behind those fake accounts, to also scrutinize how social media are being used by a certain person, or to just get an overview of everything they have posted online on social media. And where this can be a tremendous tool to hold cyber criminals accountable. On the other hand, it is very important for everyone to know that that is out there, because that's a tool for cyber criminals as well. All that information can be used to gain confidence and trust with a victim and exploit this. So in addition to us as to us using this information in criminal investigation and holding cyber criminals accountable, there should also be more focus on educating people when they go online, what kind of information they post online, because it can be used against them. In addition, we see countries ever more investing in policing the internet, so the public sphere, and being present on the public sphere, and also using tech for big data analysis. So using this open source intelligence and using also artificial intelligence, machine learning, to establish certain patterns or to predict where there will be crime, or to find out as well who might be connected with other people in criminal schemes. And while this is vital information, it is of course essential that always a legal basis is established, because you will be processing personal data, and this may account as well to observations or surveillance. And without a good legal basis, you will probably violate fundamental rights. And if you don't cannot establish how you have selected these data and how you have collected these data, then of course that might undermine as well the protection of a fair trial and the rights of defense. So it's vital that once when you start to be using those tools, that there is a legal basis, a framework, and a code of conduct that is transparent. And of course, the same is true for artificial intelligence. There are tons of devices that are now being advertised to law enforcement. But before these devices are being used, it's essential to know how the algorithms are working to be sure that there are no biases, that they are not discriminatory, and that the use is transparent. And by this, I conclude, and I hope that I have provided you with some further intel as to how social media affect fighting crime, but in particular, how crime is changing because of the use of social media. If you have further questions or want to cooperate on certain research in social media, can always contact me via my email. Thank you very much for listening.